So I am.
Was Charles Rich from Logan or up north?
Charles Rich.
Ogden.
Well, he was born in Farmington, like the rest of the boys. Uh-huh. Or I don't. Yeah, I think he was technically born in Farmington, if I recall correctly. No, maybe he was in Iowa. But anyway. But he moved when he married. He moved to Morgan, and that Morgan in Porterville area, and then he married one of the Woolies. And
Emma.
Then Emma Woolley, yes. And then he got married again just before 1890, which was when the official declaration, I think it was 1886 or 1888, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
But his father, Woolley, was against the change of not allowing polygamy to continue. And so he had to take a step in the direction of, do I follow my father-in-law? Sorry, his father. I should say his father-in-law. Do I follow my father-in-law's direction, or do I follow Wilford Woodruff?
Wow.
So he had to stand up in front of the Young Men's Improvement Association, I guess over in the Morgan area. He was a president over there, and basically say that he was going to follow Wilford Woodruff and not his own father-in-law. And that was a pretty hard thing, because he had just barely married a second wife just before that, you know. And his second wife was, it'll come to me eventually. Oh my goodness, Bagley? No, not Bagley. That was different. Second wife, Waldron, Annie Waldron Clark.
Hmm.
So she was a Waldron from that area, and she went to go live with the Woolies, believe it or not, and couldn't stand it, and moved to Farmington with Susan and Ezra.
Oh, wow.
Or it's not Susan. Mary and Ezra.
Mary
and Ezra. She liked Mary and Ezra way better than she liked the Woolies. But you can imagine. Can you imagine living with your husband's first wife's parents?
Oh, my goodness. Yeah. But he was in favor of her staying married to his son, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well, they were married before 1890, yeah, so it was what it was. Right. But the underground was live and well, and so Charles Rich had to hide. You know, and same with her. She had to kind of be this discreet, you know, person that just happened to be living with Ezra and Mary all the while, right?
Wow.
While he lived in Morgan, was kind of going back and forth over the mountain there in Farmington.
Oh.
So,
wow.
So it was something else. Charles Rich was very secretive in his journals and wrote very cryptic ways, just because he didn't want to be arrested, like his father ultimately was.
For polygamy.
Yeah. Ezra was arrested and.
Mm.
And I think, I don't know how many years he served, but, you know, they shaved off his beard.
Yeah.
Which was really a challenge for Ezra. But anyway, so I represent Charles Rich Clark.
Mm.
And there's representatives from each child of Ezra.
Mm-hmm.
All the boys, all the girls, there's a representative. And unfortunately, most of the people that turn out are from the first wife, not the second wife.
Mm.
So we're trying to get more. From the second wife.
First wife is named what?
Mary Stevenson.
And
Susan Leggett was the second.
Oh, sure, I know those two.
Yeah. So as the representative of Charles Rich and doing Kindex, I've kind of, you know, told the Clark organization what we're doing with the software, and they've footed quite a bit of money to help our company.
Mm.
And I think they've given us about $4,000 to $5,000 to help us get to a point. And so in turn, in exchange, we've been making this really robust archive of anything Clark. So from Ezra all the way down for two generations. So Ezra, Ezra's children, and Ezra's grandchildren. And you happen to be a great-granddaughter of Ezra? That's
right.
Okay. Not a granddaughter, but a great-granddaughter.
A great. Uh-huh.
A great.
But aren't I?
We're eager.
Yeah, you are.
Great.
But we're eager to do interviews of anyone Clark who's still living who's in their older years. So we've been doing that a little bit here and there. I don't know if you know an Ellis. I remember his first name. I'm forgetting his first name. But he lives in Farmington.
Ellis.
Ellis. First name is... I'll tell you here in a moment. But,
would he have been at the reunions recently? Because
he kind of didn't come very much.
Okay.
I don't think that he just...
Aren't the reunions every other year?
Yeah, they are.
Was there one last June?
Yes.
I missed that somehow.
I missed it too, and I would have loved to go.
We do have it on video, whole thing, with the speakers and everything, so I'll share that with you before we leave. Make sure you remind me.
Okay, because I want you to send that to me too.
Yeah, for sure.
I don't know how I missed that, but I missed it.
Now, before we jump into the interview, do you need to? Do you feel like you need to take a restroom break or anything? Or I mean, do you
want? Do you want water? Anyone thirsty?
I'm fine. Okay. And you want me to do the simplified questions? Are you okay with that?
You know what? Let me ask you. Remember those two lists of questions I gave you at my last?
Yeah.
There was the simplified version, and then there was the basic that probably had double the amount of questions.
And when did you give me? Give
I gave
us
you
those?
Both.
When?
And I wondered which one.
When?
When we came to visit on
this week.
See, uh-huh. On Friday, when we came to visit, Chris and I. Chris.
Do you want a copy?
Yeah.
I have my copy.
No. Yeah,
fact,
we've got it right here.
In fact, yeah.
It's okay.
Do you want me to get you the copy? Well, you know what? Just
I
listen
should
to
have
his
yeah,
questions.
Yeah, I'll just
you
go.
Do have,
I
you
think
do
I'll
have.
Do the shortened ones. The long ones are kind of...
Long?
Yeah, it's just they're pretty tedious, and I don't want to get into that too long. But So tell me, what is your full name?
Beverly Joyce Clark Johnson.
Beverly Joyce Clark Johnson. Mm-hmm. So your given name was Beverly Joyce Clark.
Yeah, I don't know where I ever got Joyce.
Okay.
But anyway, that's a middle name.
Great.
That I don't use much. I just do Beverly Clark Johnson.
Got it. And when were you born?
1931.
And where?
Chicago, Illinois.
Chicago.
Uh-huh.
Really?
Chicago.
What part of Chicago?
Cook County, which was on the north side near Howard Street, divided Chicago and Evanston.
Uh-huh.
Or maybe downtown Chicago. We went to church in the Edgewater Beach Hotel. Do you know that?
No,
no it's
I've
gone
been,
now.
I've been in that area.
Do you remember?
Oh, I do.
Oh, that was such a grand hotel that looked out over on Lake, built on Lake Michigan. And it was, and that's where we had church.
Oh, great.
And it was fun.
And why Chicago of all places? What brought your parents to Chicago?
Oh, medical school. My dad went to Northwestern. Mm-hmm. My dad grew up Georgetown, Idaho. But he wanted to be a doctor, and he got accepted to Northwestern.
Hmm.
So he moved to Chicago to go, isn't that right?
Uh-huh.
To go to Northwestern Medical School
hmm.
from Georgetown, Idaho. I thought that was interesting.
Very.
He had, and I don't know why he thought so big, because he could have just gone to Utah and stayed around here.
And what was your father's name?
Russell B. Clark.
Mm.
And the B is in... Why do you smile?
Because I have a lot of records from Russell.
Oh, do you?
Yes.
He knows Russell.
Do you?
Yes.
You knew my dad.
We have some records of Russell.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. In the Clark.
Well, I thought the B was interesting because later I asked him why the B, and he said he was just Russell Clark, but he felt when he went into medicine or went away that he should have an initial to be more prominent or more. So he just put in the B, Russell B. Clark. And one time he said it was for Benedict, Russell Benedict Clark. Did you ever hear that?
No, I heard Barrett.
Oh, I see.
But
I didn't.
Know.
And
Barrett
that
would
be a family name. Barrett,
yeah. So he wasn't given that name.
No,
he
just Russell
it.
Clark. Oh, you know, grew up on a farm in Idaho, so...
Yeah.
They didn't bother with initials and middle names, I guess.
And who was Russell's father?
Wilford Woodruff Clark.
Oh.
Wasn't he?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. State senator, right?
Maybe so.
Idaho state senator. Yep.
Maybe. I don't remember that.
And patriarch and bishop.
Uh-huh. A lot of those things.
A lot of responsibility. All right. And your mother. Tell me about your mother.
Ruby Dorius Clark. She was born in Wales, Utah. Do you know where
Wales
is?
Where Wales
do
is,
you?
Yes.
It's this big next to the mountain.
Yes.
she was born there.
Uh-huh.
And then she always liked, I think she always wanted to go to Hollywood to be a writer. She really liked that industry. And for a while she played the piano in maybe is in Manti somewhere down there. She played the piano for something to do, and she played the piano accompanying silent movies. You know, in the movie she'd do the piano to go with the script. And then she said to the family, let's move to Salt Lake City, and because they were just Nephi and those little towns. And she said, let's move to, she got them to move to Salt Lake City so that she and her brother could go to the University of Utah. Do you know that? Is that right? You want to fill in.
Oh,
you probably know more.
You're doing a great job.
And so they moved to Salt Lake with her brother Glenn and her brother Byron and Sister Eva, four of them.
Well, her brother Glenn?
Oh, do you know him?
Glenn.
Dorius.
Dorius. So Dorius was the surname.
Mm-hmm.
I know a Glenn Clark, but not a Glenn Dorius.
Oh, he's a cousin.
So, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know Glenn. We got to know Glenn.
So she talked him into moving to Salt Lake so that, what's the reason?
Well, she went to English, she majored in English at University of Utah.
Yeah, I guess so.
But they had to leave the farm in Wales, and I don't think they left it, like they didn't sell it.
Well, I think she, as I remember, it was her suggestion to have the family move to Salt Lake so she and Glenn could go to University of Utah, which they did. And then she taught school. What else did she
do? Did Eva teach too? Because I thought both girls taught school and both men became doctors, medical doctors.
Well, it might be. I don't remember Eva teaching. But the men became doctors. The whole family seemed to have teachers and doctors. Mm-hmm. In my mother's family way back, the men were either teachers or doctors.
Mm.
Two good professions.
Yeah. Hmm. That's interesting.
Well,
so tell me the name of your mother's parents, the Dorises.
Okay, Ethel, Reese, Dora. Let's see, her father was John Nikolai Dorius, and her mother was Ethel Reese Dorius. Is that right?
So I didn't catch the name of your father's mother. So your grandma
Clark.
Yeah.
Oh.
So Wilford Woodruff's wife.
What's her name?
Pamelia.
Oh, okay, Pamelia.
Does she know the mystery? Yeah. Does she know the mystery?
I haven't discussed that mystery.
Okay.
But her oldest daughter, their oldest daughter, is Pamela.
Oh.
And I'm sure a lot of
kind
that was because of Pamelia.
Yeah.
Did you know Pamelia?
Yeah.
No. She died, I think, when I was 2 years old.
That's right. Oh, wow.
And I think I heard, what I heard is that she went back to Chicago because I was born there.
Mm-hmm.
And she hadn't seen me. So she went back to Chicago, and then my dad, I think, always felt bad that he sent her back home to Utah on the train, and she got cold and pneumonia and died.
Oh.
And
so
I think
she died
he,
1 month before my dad was born.
Oh.
And he always had this search. He always wanted to get to know his grandmother that he never knew.
Oh.
And he interviewed Russell's brothers, and he learned a lot about Familia just.
Yeah, and I think he felt bad because they saved money by having her come on the train. Well, they didn't fly in those days, but maybe it was a cheaper way.
But it
maybe
was a cold
bus.
Train.
Oh.
And she wasn't probably dressed appropriately.
No, no. Oh. So she got sick and she died.
So it was actually from cold, from exposure, or just ultimately just she got like the cold and
maybe everything,
downhill.
Yeah.
Okay.
She was just after 70. She'd had her 70th
oh,
birthday.
See.
Somewhere.
So she was older.
Yeah. But I wouldn't consider that a lot.
She's the one you should interview. She knows more than I do.
But
or
okay.
I'm forgetting.
So this is your grandmother. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Now who, let's see. So she died in her 70s. And then did your grandfather remarry?
Well, he had a secret. Didn't he have a secret second wife?
Well, he had been sealed to her, right? But she never lived under the same roof because Pamelia said no second wife would
right,
live under our roof.
Right. But I think he put her up in
Salt Lake City?
No. Oh, maybe Salt Lake. I was thinking somewhere in Idaho. And
what do you remember about that situation as a little girl or?
Oh, I didn't know as a little girl. Oh. I heard all this as an adult.
So okay, but when you went and visited Grandma and Grandpa.
Oh, yes, the second wife was there, and they called her Aunt Niece. And her name was Pernice Bagley. Mm-hmm. Is it Pernice? Do you mm-hmm. say that?
Yep. Yep.
Pernice Bagley. But as a child, we called her Aunt Niece.
Aunt Niece.
Yeah.
Pernice.
Okay. Niece. Yeah, I have Pernice. It. I have it written that was Aunt Niece, but maybe
oh,
it
do
was
you?
Niece. Uh-huh.
So you drive up to Georgetown
uh-huh.
and visit her
uh-huh.
and him?
Okay. Well, I grew up in Chicago. We would come out to Utah for holidays, Thanksgiving, sometimes, and then drive up to Idaho.
Wow. So you grew up in Chicago your whole
uh-huh.
childhood?
Oh, yeah. And, yeah.
Wow, what was that like?
Oh, I loved it. I loved Chicago. Because a big thing in Chicago for me was the church. And as I said, we went to church at the Edgewater Beach Hotel, which was just very romantic and exciting. So in sacrament meeting on Sunday nights, when everyone was gathered, when they had night meeting, the kids would all take off and go to the, what was it called? Anyway, the drinking place. We'd leave sacrament meeting and go to the a casino or whatever you call
bar.
It, about something, yeah.
Yeah.
And,
Cantina,
you know,
like
we ditched church to go to the bar. And the reason was because...
You?
I didn't know
me.
You did. I thought it was my dad with the other
no,
young man.
No, I don't
know.
I'd get my girlfriends and do it. And why we do it
and
is because...
How did you do it without your parents knowing? I mean...
Oh,
they just stayed seated on the pew, and you guys
probably
just left.
We were all seated together, and Edgewater Beach Hotel had a yacht club, and to get at the yacht club, there was water underneath, and then a bridge on top that would, you know, vibrate because of the water, and we just loved ditching sacrament meeting, and going down and going back and forth over this bridge that was just dangling. So, I don't know, isn't that funny? I remember that. Huh.
But you wouldn't go drink, or you would go drink?
Never, no, never, never. They were 12.
Okay.
They were little. And
oh, yeah.
Young. But I remember my dad talking about that going like in the morning during Sunday school. They'd split for classes, and he and his buddies would go get donuts and then come back.
Oh.
So that they'd be there at the classroom, but they always had like donut in their pocket.
Because they were at the hotel.
Yeah.
For sure. There's a lot of distractions.
Yeah.
Oh, that's funny. So tell me about some of your siblings.
I'm the oldest, Beverly, and then John is the picture there. And
he's those are the three siblings together.
2.5 years younger.
Okay.
He's in the front there on his way to Ethiopia. He went over there, and then he came back, and he died. And I always wondered if he caught something in Ethiopia.
He thought so, too. He thought he caught one of those hepatitis A,
yeah,
B, C, or D,
yeah,
or whatever.
Anyway,
it turned out to be pancreatic.
So John was 2.5 years younger. And John and I were really close friends because the next sibling was my sister Barbara, born about 11 years later. So he and I, and what I remember is Sunday morning, my parents would sleep, and John and I would get up and pull the sheets off our bed. We'd set up a card table in the living room, put the sheets over the card table, and go get some cookies in the kitchen, and come back in and go under the sheets into our little house made of card table and sheets, and sit and eat cookies.
Well, their parents slept in.
Why they slept in, yeah. So I had a lot of memories growing up, you know, with my brother.
So tell me about this mischievous side of the Clarks. Like, where does that come from?
I don't know. Maybe.
I think I found it. It's rife in all Clark lines. There's
oh, really?
Mischievousness.
You get answers to that?
There's all kinds of mischievousness in the Clark
oh.
side. No, that's great. So tell me about, now have you told me all of your siblings? There's three of them or two of them?
John. Beverly, John, and then Barbara.
Barbara.
And Barbara was born 11 years later. And Barbara was an answer to my prayers because I told my parents I kept praying for a baby sister. So I keep telling them that. Finally, they said, you're going to have a baby, you know, this baby sister. So Barbara is my younger sister. And then there were two families because my dad remarried. You know that, I guess.
I don't.
Oh, my dad. Okay, my dad was married to my mother, mm-hmm. and there were three children from that.
Ruby.
Uh-huh. And then they divorced, but she also died. But while she was living, he married Donna. Yeah, he had a second wife while he married Donna. And he and Donna had two boys, Robert and Stephen.
Oh, okay.
So my dad had five children by two wives.
Okay, got it. And does your younger sister, Barbara, give praise to you all the time because she exists because of you?
No.
She should.
I don't even. We don't.
Say, I prayed you here.
Thank you.
Yeah.
We don't connect unless I initiate it.
I see.
You know, she's willing to talk, but she never calls me.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Tell me some experiences from your early grade school years in Chicago.
Well, I remember going to school one day. I was about fourth grade, and I had lost one of my shoes for some reason, couldn't find it. So I remember walked about six blocks to school, and I had on one shoe of mine and one shoe of probably John's. You know, I had to have shoes to walk to school. And then I remember growing up, we lived six blocks from the Edgewater Beach, the water, and the Edgewater Beach Hotel was there where we also had church. But I can remember, just a lot of memories, walking to church or school or something. I just remember growing up in Chicago, mm-hmm. and I liked it. And we lived in a brownstone apartment on the first floor. And going up to there were about 20 steps. And I can remember really young, I must have been five or something, a man chasing me. I thought he was chasing me, and I got scared. And I remember one of my visual things is running up these stairs to the door, knocking on the door so my mother would open it. But I remember being terrified. You know, one time I was somewhere, we had to talk about our most terrifying moment. And that's what I remember when I was about five,
wow.
being chased up these stairs to get away from the boogeyman. Mm. You know, he was probably just trying to scare me. And I don't know if there was anything dangerous about it. I remember knocking on the door, and I don't remember if anyone answered it. So maybe he chewed me up. I don't know. Have you heard any of these stories before?
Have you heard that story about the man chasing Beverly?
No.
No, he hasn't.
Good thing he wasn't there, otherwise.
Yeah.
Right?
Oh.
Okay. All right. Tell me some of the chores you did as a child.
I don't remember any.
Wow, you had no jobs, no chores, huh? You were just a free spirit.
Mm-hmm. You know, my parents probably said, clean up the mess you and your brother made. Maybe I did that, but, you know, I helped with dishes, maybe. No, I don't remember chores, especially.
Oh. Do you remember that's a lot why your brother John was sent to the farm on summers? So, because Grandpa thought he would learn how to work, you know, like he and his brothers had done? I'm just asking, because I think that's what my dad had said one time, is that
maybe
this is how a city boy learns to work. Go get on the train, go to the farm every summer with his cousins.
I really thought it was to get rid of, so my mother wouldn't have to watch him all summer.
Okay.
You know, to get rid of, to send him somewhere. And maybe he knew that he'd have some work experience, and the farm needed that,
mm-hmm.
although he was younger.
So your mother wrote. Was your mother a writer?
She wanted to be a writer. She wanted to go to Hollywood and write a
screenplay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, she wrote things. You know, she was president of the Mutual, and she'd write, what did Mutual do in those days? Scripts or something for them.
Plays.
Uh-huh, yeah. She always wanted to be a writer.
Hmm. And so tell me some things about your father that your father taught you about his line, the Clark line, and anything that comes to mind in particular, maybe things that he was raised with.
Well, not so much. I remember mostly his being a very busy doctor, and his day off was Wednesday, and he would take us to Lake Geneva, hour and a half drive away, so there were three of us, so we could swim. And we waited every Wednesday for him to see patients and get rid of patients so he could come home and drive us to Lake Geneva. That's a memory I have. And he would never get home till about 4 o'clock. And then we would drive an hour and a half and go swimming Lake Geneva. I don't know why it wasn't Lake Michigan anyway. But he was always a busy doctor. And what I remember is driving to church from Evanston to the Edgewater Beach Hotel. And he would stop at the hospital, Holy Cross Hospital, on the way to church and say, I'll just be a minute. So he'd leave us all in the car waiting, and he'd go in and be back in about 20 minutes, and he'd say, well, it was a boy, it was a girl. And so he would be called if someone was ready to deliver, and he'd drive us there. I don't know how many times that happened. But we'd wait in the car while he went in and saw a patient, and he'd probably force the birth, I don't know. Anyway, but I remember a lot of times waiting for him, you know, to come back and take us wherever.
Yeah. Hmm? So what kind of a surgeon was he, or doctor was he?
He was a general practitioner, a GP.
Okay.
Isn't that what they call them?
Exactly. And remember that influence of Pamelia, of all of her sons. Russell was the one that drove the horse and buggy with her to Star Valley, where she delivered all those babies because she was a midwife. And that's what put in his head. He did not want to be a farmer or a dairyer, you know, rancher.
Have you interviewed her yet?
No, I need to.
Yeah. You should. You should. Yeah, she knows more than I do.
No,
that's good.
I'm telling you.
Oh.
So what were some of the difficulties that you overcame as a child?
None.
You had an easy life, huh?
Difficulties.
Did you have any difficulties as a child?
I don't think so.
What about with Grandma Ruby? Anything about that?
About what?
Grandma Ruby, your mother Ruby. She just didn't want to be a housewife.
Yeah,
but she loved...
I just accepted that.
Okay.
Yeah. I didn't think that was... I don't know if anything was hard. Maybe everything was. I don't know.
So you talked about traveling in a car, being with your
father.
Mm-hmm. Are there any other ways that you traveled other than a car?
Well, the train from Chicago to... We leave from Evanston, Illinois, and get on a train and get off at Evanston, Wyoming. And then the farmers, the people from Georgetown, would have driven about an hour to get that train to get us, you know, to meet us, take us to the farm. So we traveled by train, which I loved. Mm. I just loved train rides. They were fun.
Did you ever travel by plane when you were younger?
Never.
Never.
Never until my grandparent died when I was in my 20s and I flew for the funeral. Mm. You know, but we always... What'd you say, a plane?
Mm-hmm.
No, we'd always do train.
Beverly, you sent me a picture of a train. It was called the Challenger.
Mm-hmm.
And it would go, it was famous for, its route was Evanston to Evanston.
Right.
Remember that?
Yes,
so,
and we took that
years.
All the time.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
Cool.
And my favorite thing was going to the dining car for breakfast. And these black men would come in their white things to serve us breakfast, and that was fun, taking the train.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Did you ever think about God as a child?
I don't think so.
No.
You did when you were 10.
Oh, yes. Okay.
Yeah, tell us about
when I was when I was 10 years old, my who would it have been? Carol, would it have been Carol Lee?
One of your cousins. I'm not sure who it was.
Oh, Doris. A cousin Doris. We got on a horse, and we were 10, so we were little, and our uncles would put us up on this high horse, named Diamond, a black horse. But it was huge to us because we were littler. And we got on this horse and went off in the snow. And it was Thanksgiving, and all the people had come back for Thanksgiving dinner who lived away. So we went off on the horse for a ride while the women were fixing the meal. And, yeah, this is important in my life. We got lost, and we were trudging in the snow, the two of us on this big horse, and we got lost. And I said, why don't we get off the horse and pray? And we were 10 and 11 years old. So we stopped the horse, who was just going slowly, and we got off, we slid off, and it was a long way. You know, we were short, and it just seemed that the saddle was about up to here. So we jumped off, knowing we couldn't get back on the horse ourselves. So we got off, we knelt down in the snow. I think I said a prayer. And as soon as I said amen, around the snowy bush came some of our uncles on horses looking for us. So I always felt that was an answer to prayer. They came around the corner, put us on the saddles, and took us back for the Thanksgiving dinner.
And who were some of those uncles?
Oh, who would they have been? LeGrand, probably.
Definitely.
Uncle LeGrand. Uncle Royal, brothers of my father. Royal, LeGrand, Woodruff, I don't know. See, my father had, what, 10 brothers?
Yeah.
Didn't he? Wow.
It was just like your family.
It's incredible.
Vera and Leora were the only two women, but mm-hmm. there were 9 boys
yeah.
in your
yeah.
father's family.
And this mm-hmm. was in Georgetown, the Georgetown
mm-hmm.
area.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I can see how you can get lost over there. It's beautiful. Beautiful place to get lost. Okay. So tell me about your first job that you ever had as a teenager.
Well, I don't know. I guess I did babysitting, but my first job probably was as a freshman at the University of Utah. And I worked as kind of a secretary to one of the professors. I don't know if I got paid for it or not. I didn't do a lot of working. My parents supported me, and, you know, I didn't have to, so I was lazy, a lazy child.
I can't believe that. She's such a list maker, and she's president of the Utah Symphony Guild. She has done a lot of things.
Hmm.
So what special talents did you develop in life?
Well, nothing special, but I had piano lessons, so I could play the piano.
Good. She's an organist, too.
What?
Organist.
What?
Nothing special. Organist.
Yeah, they have an organ in their living room.
Oh, really?
We did have. Yeah, because I came to college. Have you heard of Alexander Schreiner?
No.
Ever? Well, he was a very famous
Tabernacle
Mormon
organist.
Oh, okay.
Tabernacle.
Alexander Schreiner.
And when I came up to the University of Utah as a freshman, my dad said, why don't you call up, or no, not why, he said, you call up Alexander Schreiner and take organ lessons, because I had had organ lessons in high school. And so I felt like he was saying, calling the president's wife of the United States or something.
Yeah,
I didn't
Alexander
know how
Schreiner
I could do it.
Was a big deal.
Yeah.
For many years, he was the Tabernacle organist.
Uh-huh. But my dad kept after me, so finally I called up, and I said, could I study with you? So I lived in a sorority house, and we'd go out late Friday nights on dates, and Saturday morning, I had 8 roommates, women, girls, and they were all sleeping in, and I'd get up at 5 o'clock because I had an organ lesson at 9 and I hadn't practiced all week. So at 5 o'clock, I'd get up and walk from the house where I was living down to the chapel and practice for 3 hours. Then I'd get a bus and go downtown and have my organ lesson with Alex Schreiner. And then I'd get back, and my roommates were all still sleeping, and I'd been up for about 5 hours taking, you know,
could
organ.
Could he tell?
From the best organist in the West.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, he was good.
Oh, wow.
He was really good.
So did you ever play at the Tabernacle then?
Oh, he let me play once or twice, but just, you know, briefly.
Yeah.
No, I never did.
Huh.
Hmm.
Well, that's great. What other talents did you develop?
Yeah, none.
That's what she says. She was in charge of all the organists at the Salt Lake Temple for years. I mean, up until a few years ago. And she would keep records of what shift, who would go and play. Right, Dale?
I don't even remember that.
She would keep track of who it was.
So you were a manager of people.
Yeah, she
was.
Well,
that's a talent.
I was a musical people.
Yeah, that's great. Did you ever move?
Well, we moved from Chicago to Evanston.
Wyoming?
No, Evanston, Illinois.
Oh,
we're
Chicago.
Northwestern.
Okay, got it.
Yeah, from Chicago.
Yeah.
Just, we moved when I was about 9 years old. Mm-hmm. I was young. So we moved to Evanston, and then I stayed there till college, 18, and then I came to the University of Utah. And then I married Dale, and we were back east for 15 years. Chicago, I mean, Washington, D.C., Philadelphia, and Boston. And we lived there for 15 years, which I just loved. And then he got the
job.
Well, I loved all of them. You know, growing up in Chicago, I know it's Midwest, but I considered it kind of East. And I really liked Eastern, all those cities. Dale came home and said, I've been offered a job in Salt Lake. We're going to move. And I burst into tears. I did not want to move to Salt Lake. I wanted to stay back there.
East.
But we moved.
What did you think of Salt Lake when you moved?
Well, it was like coming home. Because, see, I had grandparents here and aunts and uncles. And I really loved living in the eastern cities. But I adjusted.
Yeah.
Didn't I? I adjusted fast.
Well, yeah, you started in Salt Lake before we left,
we
were married.
Yeah, that's right.
Because you had been at the university.
Mm-hmm.
I thought you had lived for a while in Glendale. Didn't you live in Glendale?
Never.
You never did?
No, Russell did.
So he and Ruby moved before you...
Well, Ruby didn't live there. When they divorced, I'm too old to do this. My mother always wanted to move to California. That was it. She really liked Hollywood. She wanted to write scripts and be near, you know, famous people. So she talked my dad into moving out here. But he couldn't move as a doctor. He had a busy practice in Chicago, and he couldn't just up and move. So mother took three children, moved here, and he took a couple of months to close his practice in Chicago. And then he came out, and he started in Glendale as maybe
California.
Like an in, huh?
Okay, yeah. Glendale, California.
Like an intern or something.
Yeah.
To get a license for California.
Sure.
So that's what he did. And then, of course, they divorced. And
so what did they get divorced over, can I ask?
I don't know. Do you know a reason?
I think that she always felt like she was under his thumb. You know, she said she couldn't write. He wanted her in the house. She wanted to be out in Hollywood.
Yeah, all that's true.
Yeah.
Did she end up getting her dream to go to Hollywood and...
Well, she wrote. I don't think they did anything with her scripts. But
you still got her script.
Oh, you do?
Oh, my goodness.
Is it good?
It's pretty good.
Well, yeah. And she started a book.
She started this
and never,
book.
Never finished it.
And she never finished it. And my dad said that before he died, he wanted to finish that book.
Yeah.
And so we've got a few drafts of it.
So how old were you when the divorce happened?
Teenager, 18, 19. I was at college.
So
I just started college.
For you, I imagine.
Yeah, that
Tell
was...
Tell me about that challenge.
Uh-huh. This is what's interesting. I had a friend that I knew in California, and she heard through the grapevine, and she came up to Salt Lake and talked to me one time, and she said to me, did you know your parents are separated? And I had no idea. This is how close our family was. Do you know this? Did you?
You had told me this before.
And I had no idea. And she said, your parents are separated. And then I went home for Thanksgiving. I was University of Utah going to school. Went home for Thanksgiving. And my mother had moved out, but she moved back just for appearances to have the family together. And an aunt and uncle were also there, Leora mm-hmm. and Carol Lee. And anyway, my parents said, never said anything to me about it.
Wow.
You know, wonderful conversation, wonderful connections in our family.
Why?
They just went ahead, you know.
Why the distance? Why was there distance, would you say?
Well,
why was there not conversation, open conversation?
Oh, because that's how we were all raised. No, my dad didn't talk very much. My mother would love to talk, but my dad didn't talk very much.
Mm. He was a quiet man.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I guess.
Tell me about any boyfriend or girlfriend you had, or a particular date that sticks out in your mind.
I had a boyfriend when I was 14, freshman in high school, and his name was Norman Fidley. No, something that sticks out. But anyway, he wanted to go steady, and I remember writing a letter. I probably still have a copy. I wrote a letter to my parents of why they should allow me to go steady with this boy. I still have it.
Oh, you still have it?
Oh, I think so.
That's uh-huh. funny.
Because I remember saying in the letter, he's really nice, he doesn't smoke, he doesn't drink, he's a nice person, and he wants me to go steady, and you ought to allow me to do that. And I don't know what they said.
So did you date a lot?
Yeah, I always dated a lot. I think, didn't you?
Yeah, Truman Madsen was one of you that you dated for a while.
Yeah, tell us about some of those people you dated.
Well,
Truman Madsen was one, huh?
Have you heard of Truman Madsen?
I have, yeah.
Yeah, he was cute. Who else did I date? I don't know.
I heard there was a Ballard that you
who
dated.
Just died, yeah.
Yeah. She just
Russell.
Said, who just said?
Yeah, Russell Ballard. Yeah. I had two dates with him. And I don't know, I had a lot of dates in college.
What was Russell like? What kind of a date was he?
Well, I remember going to a party with 20 people. And the hostess gave us all a piece of paper and black crayon and said, pick someone in this room and draw a picture of that person. And so I think she said pick. Maybe they gave us names. But I drew Russ Ballard, and so I'm no artist at all, and he was very good looking. And so I sketched an ugly thing of his, and then they took all the pictures that we had drawn and pinned them up around, and we had to go around and guess, you know, who that person was. And of course, no one would guess Russ Ballard, because the way I drew was just awful. And he was very, very offended because he was nice looking.
Isn't he the one that just died?
Yeah.
What?
Isn't he the one that just died?
Yes, just died. Uh-huh.
So before I go too much further along, tell me the names of the ward that you grew up in Chicago. What was the name?
North Shore Ward.
North Shore Ward.
North Shore Ward, Chicago State.
And when you moved to Evanston, what was the name of that ward?
Well, it moved up there.
It was the same ward.
Uh-huh. My husband and I used to be in that.
Yeah. Okay, North Shore Ward.
Yeah, it was Chicago State, and it had three wards. South Side was one, University Ward. Logan Square was one in Chicago. And then in Evanston, it was North Shore Ward.
North Shore Ward.
Uh-huh.
So what was it like being a member of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints in
Chicago? I always loved it because I grew up that way.
Uh-huh.
You know,
Did a lot of people show a lot of interest in your church?
Did what?
Did other people show interest in the church in Chicago when they got to know you?
No.
Oh, no.
And I didn't influence anyone.
She's very humble.
Yeah.
I'm sure she did.
Did you participate in any sports at all?
I was captain of the basketball team in seventh grade. I've told you that.
Oh, that's great. So you're a baller, huh? Great. Well, any other sports?
Oh, I skied a little bit, not much.
Okay.
Skiing, basketball.
So which national or worldwide events affected your childhood and teenage years?
Well, probably the World War II.
Tell us about that.
Well, I remember, rationing. You know, food was rationed. And what else do I remember? World War II.
Was gas rationed?
Uh-huh, gasoline was. Sugar was. You know, a lot of things. But I didn't pay much attention to it because I just had my friends and, you know, I left all that up to the parents.
So about how old were you in the 40s to the 45?
15.
You're 15.
Uh-huh. Okay, well, during the war was what? Anyway, I think from 11 to 15 was during the war.
Yeah.
What about the World's Fair? Wasn't that big for you?
No.
The Chicago World's Fair?
No, see, that was 1933, and I was only 2 years old.
Little, but I just remember a lot of uncles coming to visit the World Fair.
Well, a lot of relatives came, because we lived in Chicago. Relatives were all over the West. And that was always exciting for me, to go down to the Union Station and meet the trains of relatives that were coming to visit Chicago.
Cool.
Or taking people there to leave Chicago, you know. That train station was fun.
That's great. What was the name of that train station?
Oh, probably Union.
Union Station. Okay.
I think something like that.
So tell me about Pearl Harbor. Do you remember that, when you first heard about that as a girl?
I don't. The only thing I remember is that we had these handsome men in the ward that were in the Coast Guard, the Marines, you know, and they would come every Sunday in their uniforms. And we were 13. They were all 18, 19, 22. And we just always thought, you know, they were so... It was... World War II was kind of an romantic... terrible to say that the war was romantic.
Right.
But they were always decked out in the gorgeous uniforms and
sure.
handsome and... So we all were young, and we couldn't be bothered with the war. We just thought they were... Except I do remember going to church at 10 o'clock on Sunday morning, December 7th, and riding from Evanston to Chicago in the car. My dad had the radio on, and the news came on that Roosevelt had just announced we're going to war. You know, I can remember that day, December 7th.
Yeah.
1941.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And remember what was happening December 7th, 1941, besides Pearl Harbor? Your brother John?
No, what?
He was 8 years old, and he got baptized that day, right as the bombs were...
You're kidding.
No, he would tell me that. He would say Pearl Harbor Day was the day he got baptized.
I never knew that.
Oh, you just forgot that.
Okay,
I
forgot.
Have been in the car.
So which brother was that?
John, my
uh-huh.
dad.
Okay,
yeah.
Oh, that's interesting. Okay.
Oh, you got more than you can...
I'm still going. We haven't met this guy yet. That's what I'm
curious
about. Oh,
start on him. He has the good stories.
So, did you ever consider serving or helping in the military at some point
Never.
In your life?
Mm-mm, I was too young.
Did you provide any religious or public service?
No. Mm-mm. Just went to church every Sunday.
Okay. You played the organ.
Mm-hmm.
That was a...
For a little while.
Service, yeah. What callings did you have in the church?
Oh, I was Relief Society president. Mm-hmm. Organist. Usually music.
Uh-huh.
Organist or in charge of the music.
Uh-huh.
And that was fun to be in charge of. You know, they usually have special musical things in between talks. And that was fun to do.
She's been quite a hostess, too, in
yeah.
their Salt Lake home,
mm.
gathering organists who Bonnie Goodliff would tell about things. And anyway, you've had firesides.
Does Richard Elliott ever come to your events?
No. Do you know him?
Yeah. I know of him.
Uh-huh.
I don't know him.
No,
he's an amazing organist.
Uh-huh. He is.
Yes.
Well, you know, he was... Do you know his background?
No.
In Philadelphia, Well, he was the organist in the, let's see, Philadelphia. What's that big organ they have?
Do you remember Dale? Wanamaker.
The Wanamaker organ, yes. Yeah. And he played on that. And he trained in New York and was a fabulous organist. So he did that Wanamaker organ in New York, and yeah, he was wonderful.
He's just come played in Philadelphia on that organ just in the last couple of years.
Oh, really? Uh-huh.
Our stake all flocked to go here.
Yeah. How about Linda Margetts? Did you ever work with Linda?
I know who she is, and I probably had her help sometimes, you know, telling me people I worked with her a little bit.
So Linda's my mom's second cousin.
Oh, really? Yeah, she's lovely.
Okay.
Good organist.
She is, yeah.
So you attended university at U of U?
Mm-hmm.
And did you attend any other school, any other college or university?
I took some classes somewhere, but no, it was mostly University of Utah. Got a degree, you know, it was 4 years, got a degree in...
In music?
English.
English?
No, you know, it was in elementary education.
Oh, was it?
Which was so boring. I wish it had been in English or music.
I thought she had majored in English. I thought she and Barbara had both been.
It was elementary education.
So did you end up teaching then?
In those days, everyone went on to teaching.
Okay.
Just about.
So you did?
No, I didn't, because we got married, moved away, had babies, so I never did.
Tell me about this man that you got married to. Tell me a little bit about how you got to know him.
Well, he's crazy. No, I met... I had a college roommate that I was very close to, and she came home, and we lived together somewhere, and she came home one night. I was falling asleep, and she said, "Beverly, I've just met the one man on this campus I think I could marry and be happy with." And I said, "What's his name?" And she said, "Dale Johnson." And I thought, what a plain name. And I turned over and went back to sleep, and then I married him.
How did you get him and not her?
I don't know. He just started asking me out and stopped dating her and started.
She was a Kyle Megan. On our third date, she says, I left her at the door. She says, "Aren't you going to kiss me at the door?" I mean,
this is what my roommate said.
Yeah.
"Aren't you going to kiss me?"
Yeah.
And he says,
"I said, not yet." Then I met Beverly at a missionary reunion, and I decided to date her instead. I had just come home from South Africa on a mission, and I was in college for 2 years. The third year of college, I met Beverly, and...
Tell them first that he brought this diamond home from South Africa. And he gave it to his parents and said, "Put it in a vault for 5 years, because I'm going to medical school and I'm not even going to think about marriage."
That's a great story.
That is a great story.
But anyway, we got the diamond out. And I got admitted to medical school in 49. And I was dating Beverly at that time. It was kind of complicated in medical school and dating, so I decided it might be easier if we got married. So we got married in December.
And he always says it was harder
getting
married.
It was harder as I got married. I went to undergrad for 3 years, and then they accepted me in medical school. So we had 4 years at Utah, and and I went to Mass General for a 5-year residency in surgery in Boston. And the Korean War was going on, and I was going to be drafted. Instead of being drafted, I said I would volunteer, and I volunteered to go to Walter Reed doing research, Walter Reed Institute of Research. So we spent 2 years at Walter Reed. And I escaped the war that way. another year of research in Pennsylvania. I met Sierra Coop while I was doing that.
Have you heard of Dr. Coop?
Mm-hmm. Oh, very famous. Surgeon General.
Surgeon General. Mm-hmm. Oh.
Years
he
ago.
He offered me a residency at Children's Hospital 50 at Philadelphia. Mm-hmm. So I went there for, what was it, 5 or 9 years. Mm-hmm. I was on the faculty there. And when he became Surgeon General, he asked me to take his place in Philadelphia. I said, no, I didn't feel I could be a surgeon, a general. I wouldn't be a good replacement for him. I wanted to go back to Utah anyway. So I came back to Utah in 71. So I was in medical school from 1952 to 1971. Huh. Or not medical school, training.
It's a long time.
It's a long time. But I was the first certified, trained pediatric surgeon in Utah. Mm-hmm. So I became immediately chief of surgery at Parkland Children's Hospital.
Oh, wow.
And served there for 35 years, plus the University of Utah, a professor of both.
Wow, that's amazing. Well, that's a neat experience. So, what was the name of the original roommate that he was dating?
Oh, Kathy.
Kathy
Pearson.
Pearson?
Uh-huh.
Okay, Kathy. Did she end up getting married?
Yes. Kathy Taylor.
John Taylor, yeah.
Another South African missionary. Sure.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So uh-huh. did you hang out? Did you continue
oh, yeah.
to hang out? Oh, good.
Yeah, we were good friends.
That's great.
Uh-huh.
What was the name of the other South African missionary?
John Taylor,
uh-huh. Okay.
He was like our surrogate parents. When Cliff and I got married and moved to Cincinnati, they took us under their wing.
Oh, that's great.
But Beverly, you need to tell Kimball about when Dale asked you to go steady. You had this funny
Yes. yeah, well, one night, I guess he gave me his fraternity pin. And, you know, that means something. So the next morning, we went to his house. He took me to his house. And he has a brother that came in, and his mother said to the brother, aren't you going to kiss your new sister-in-law? And I don't know what happened, but then we went outside for him to drive me home, and I said, Dale, he had said sister-in-law implied marriage, and we had never talked about anything. And so I said, Dale, do you think we're going to get married someday? And Dale said, one usually expects to marry the one that one gives one's pin to. And I just thought I just thought that's the most stuffy thing. One usually expects to marry the one that one gives one's fraternity pin to. And then I said, when? And he hadn't even thought beyond that. And he said, well, maybe in June. And I said, how about December, 6 months earlier? Because he was going to be in school, and I thought, why
wait?
Yeah. Wait.
Why torture yourself?
So we did.
Good. Mm. Oh, that's sweet. So what did you like about Dale?
Everything. Probably that he was just very quiet, because I had gone with a lot of loud boys, I think. Loud boyfriends, I don't know. And he was just polite and quiet, I guess. What did I like about you? Do you remember?
I don't know.
Well, what did you like about her?
Oh, good question.
She's beautiful and warm and loving. I'm just attracted to her. More than her friend.
Oh.
The one I refused to kiss.
And I thought Kathy Pearson Taylor was beautiful.
Yeah, she
is,
was.
She is.
Yeah.
She's died since, but.
Uh-huh.
Huh.
She had a different personality.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
I didn't make sure.
Uh-huh.
And I've always been glad that I didn't marry her.
Yeah.
She married a friend of mine, though.
Sure.
South African missionary.
That's great. All right, so you were employed throughout your marriage. you were employed. Mm-hmm. Now, were you ever working throughout your marriage?
Oh, I worked for one of the professors at the university for the first year, mm-hmm. and then started having children.
So tell me about your children that you have.
We have four children, two girls, two boys.
What's their full names?
Their full names, well, the first one's Pamela, named after my, kind of after my grandmother. Second one is Paul. The next is Charlotte. Charlotte's a relative, too. A lot of Charlottes in the family. And then Peter is the second. Pam, Paul, Charlotte, Peter. Two girls, two boys.
We had the first two children while we were in medical school, and the second two children while we were at the Mass General.
Got it. Wow. Mm-hmm.
So I was Mass General. I was on call every day and every night for 5 years. His salary was $25 a month. And so Beverly didn't see me very often because I was usually operating all night. But we had friends in Boston. We actually had a good time there. But we also had two children while we were there.
Wow. But of a very little income. You said $25 a month?
Yeah.
Yeah. Her father helped.
My dad helped us.
Did he?
Russell, yeah.
That's good of him.
The gasoline in those days was $25 a gallon.
What? 25? No, 25 cents a gallon.
25 cents a gallon, okay.
Yeah, it's cheap.
Yeah. Okay. Tell me about your relationship with your spouse now.
With him?
Yeah.
Well, we've got divorce papers coming up. He's wonderful. He's kind, very kind and helpful.
That's good.
Oh, wonderful.
So what joys have you had in your relationship?
What
joys did you have in your relationship throughout your lives? Your children?
Having your children.
Yeah. Our children, our families, our relatives. Yeah, it's been a nice marriage.
What experiences did you have that were hard to overcome and that you overcame?
In our marriage?
Yeah.
Probably I've been more active in church than Dale has, mm-hmm. but I've gotten over it. Mm-hmm. But I think for years, you know, I really wanted him to get up every Sunday morning and say, "Get up, kids, get dressed, we're going to church." And that isn't, he's not like that. Anyway, but he's been supportive of everything I've done. Good. Never crossed me or argued anything.
Mm-hmm. So no divorces or additional marriages, this is it. You guys mm-hmm. got married and you stayed together the whole way through.
Yeah.
What's your secret sauce?
Pick the right person, I guess. Well, my parents had divorced, so I didn't want anything, you know, like that. That probably made a difference. Mm-hmm. In fact, I can remember I took organ lessons from this woman years ago, and I can remember when I was playing an organ for her, a lesson, and I think I started crying and thought, my parents are getting a divorce. How, you know, what'll happen? And she said to me, "You'll work all the harder to make your marriage work because you've seen, you know, what's happened in your family." But I didn't have to work hard. He was easy. So
good.
We should have asked you all these questions.
Oh, my goodness. I love hearing this. This is such a treat for me to be hearing this from you.
Oh.
So what are your thoughts about parenting?
Parenting. Well, I guess you have to kind of give free rein to your kids. You can't be too overpowering and insistent, you know, on what they do or what they don't do. Just try and guide them right. I guess. What would you say?
That's so good. Thank you. I love that.
What happens when you get too insistent?
When you get what?
When you get too insistent and you get too overpowering.
Oh, then something backfires.
They go the other way sometimes.
Yeah. But he was always, did anything ever backfire?
I don't think so.
No, I don't either.
Did you?
Kids were very...
He was easy to live with. He probably...
Very good, obedient.
Good. Good. Did you have any miscarriages or stillborns or any children pass away?
I have 4 children, and the 5th was a miscarriage, and that's all. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't crushing or anything. Mm-hmm. It just happened.
Yeah.
And I thought 4 is enough.
Yeah.
Did you have miscarriages?
Mm-hmm. So tell me about raising teenagers specifically. Do you have any advice for raising teenagers?
I don't know. I have a friend, and she used to say that when her kids came home from dates, she would say, "Oh, come tell me about it. Here's a cup of cocoa, and let's sit and talk." I remember I'd sit by the clock, I guess, and watch out the window for the headlights and be mad when they came home because it was too late. I wanted to be in bed asleep, but I felt I should wake up for them. And so did you wake up for all of yours?
I stayed up for mine because my mother did for us.
Really?
And my husband went to bed and he didn't give them a curfew, which I did not.
Yeah.
So it sounds like you've lived all over the nation.
Like I've watched.
Right? You lived all over the country.
East and west.
So where did your family vacation typically?
Well, sometimes just coming home to see grandparents in Utah. From the east, we'd come home, use our vacations here. One time we went to Lake Winnipesaukee up in New York.
We went to Canada once. We got in trouble crossing the lake. We crossed the lake in a boat. They gave us a boat that is really a rowboat. I don't know. We had a terrible time crossing the lake, and when we got to where we were going, you remember that, Beth?
Oh, yeah, it was a 5-day vacation to Lake Winnipesaukee, I think. And after the first day, we turned around and came home. It just wasn't working out. We weren't campers or something. I don't know.
Okay.
That's why we lived in Boston, though.
So what pets did you have as a family? Did you have any family pets?
Yeah, we had a dog named Brigham.
Oh, yeah.
Like Brigham Young. Didn't we? For a while we had that. That's about.
We were afraid to bring him back here. We had Brigham in Philadelphia, didn't we?
Yeah.
So was there any national or worldwide event that affected your children and your young family?
I don't think so.
I'm lucky enough to escape the war by volunteering in various places.
Good.
I spent 2 years at Walter Reed Institute of Research to get out of the Korean War. They made me a captain. They expected me to go to get drunk every afternoon. And I resigned from the Army as soon as the 2 years were over. I never went to the Army thing. Well, I was active in the church at those days.
So we're already an hour in the interview. Do you want to take a quick break?
Oh.
Are you okay to keep going?
Well, isn't that enough?
We're an hour in. No, we've got 1 more hour left, probably. A little less than an hour left. Because we haven't, not an hour, probably maybe another 30 minutes.
Oh, it doesn't matter. Doesn't matter.
Do you need a glass of water?
But I usually like to stop after an hour.
Do you want a glass of water?
I'm okay. I can go ahead.
Do you want water?
Would you like some water, Beverly? I would be happy to go in there and get some water.
I'll unclip this if you want to get
forgot. I'll get some water for us. Mm. Oh.